Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a small book right after the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at a few verses here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember thy Creator. Solomon is believed to be the writer of this book. And if you read through the book of Proverbs and on into the book of Ecclesiastes, the main theme of these two books is wisdom. The wisdom that God gives to His people to know Him, to understand who He is, and to see Him. And we do this by faith. We have no audible visions. We've not seen the Lord with our natural eyes as some of the prophets or some of the apostles did and some of the people in the New Testament did. But by the eye of faith, we look and we behold and we say, there He is, the hope for sinners. He and He alone is my hope and my salvation. He and He alone is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto Him. Let us hear. Look down in chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is this? What is the conclusion of the whole matter of this life? Why are you and I created? Why did God see fit to create men and women upon the earth? Here it is. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is the reason. This is the purpose that God created man, that we may fear Him and keep His commandments. Now we know that we sin and come short of the glory of God daily. We know that when Adam fell, he plunged all of his posterity into this thing of sin. So how do we fear God? And how is it that we can keep His commandments? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Only by believing on Him who is able to save to the uttermost. And I believe Brother Scott Richardson said, to the guttermost. He's able to save those that come unto Him. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the purpose that man has experienced. And this is the purpose of God creating. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. All men and women ought to fear God. All men and women should, and one day will. All men and women should worship God, and one day they will bow a knee. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But while we're here on this earth, while we're here in this old flesh, oh, let us keep His commandments. Let us depend upon Him. Let us repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the Lord is able. He's able to save. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. He hears our prayers. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust, and He calls us unto Himself through the preaching of the gospel. Our God is able to save. He's able to save. But this chapter, as we're going to look at it this morning, deals with things as they are. He deals with things as they are, not as they ought to be. not as they ought to be. It's a sad fact, but a fact nevertheless, that the majority of men and women that lives upon this earth, they have a religion. They have some kind of hope. They have some kind of understanding. But they do not know Christ. They do not know Christ. I don't know how many churches we passed from the time that we left John and Irene this morning. But the ones that we passed, several cars was already in a parking lot. They come ready to do what they call service the Lord. But it is a sad fact that this false gospel that goes throughout our land is leading men and women to be servants of Satan rather than servants of God. That's just the fact of the matter. Those who learn the grace of God are blessed beyond measure. You that are set under the gospel has been blessed of God. Men say, oh, we're blessed of God because we built this and we built that. Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But the most blessed thing that you and I can have is to have a faithful man to come to the place that we are and to deliver us the gospel week after week after week. And he only does this by the grace of God. God only calls men by his grace. And he puts them where he wills. And they are there by his power, and they shall be there until God takes them out of the way. So you and I, who is able to sit under the gospel, are the most blessed people in the world. God has richly blessed us. He loadeth us daily with benefits. He pours out upon us the mercy and the grace of His great love. And He gives unto us an understanding that we may know who He is. And then He calls on us in verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember what verse 13 says now when you read this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Remember now, right now, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will, the scripture says, harden not your hearts. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Right now is what he's talking about. Today, right now, remember now thy Creator. Look upon him. Meditate upon him. Remember the goodness that he has given you. Remember the grace that he has so abundantly shed upon you. Call upon his name. Bow the knee and worship him. We know that it is God who created man. And we dare not try to separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's many around that said, well, we're Jesus-only people. We believe that we are led by the Spirit alone. Some said, well, I worship God the Father. When you worship one, when you truly worship one, you worship all three. For the scripture tells us that there are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Have we not all one Father? Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. Have not one God created us? Yes. He did it in the triune God of heaven, the Trinity that dwells alone. And they are to be worshipped as one God, one Creator, one Father, and one Son. We read in John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning, this is a very familiar scripture, I'm sure to you. In the beginning was the Word. And Christ said, I am the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So there's no separation here. You cannot worship one without worshiping the three. And you cannot worship three without worshiping as they are revealed in Holy Scripture. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. You say, well, now, wait a minute. The Scriptures tells us that God spoke. He said, let there be, and there is. He spoke, but He spoke in the triune head of God. The all three persons of God spoke, and things came into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the power that our God has. And when He speaks unto you through the gospel, He says, come. And what do? Oh, we grab the seat and we resist God. No. You cannot resist God. When God speaks to you with an affectional call, you will come unto Him. And you will not leave Him. And He will not leave you. All things were created by Him. And without Him was not anything that created that was made. In Him was life. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's who He's talking about here. And the life was the light of men. We read in Job 23 or 33 in verse 4, the Spirit of God has made me. Well, I thought God did. He did in the Trinity. Men try to separate these, and that's where they go astray. These three are one. Our Lord said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. This is the creation of God. This is the power, the work, and the handiwork of God in creating all things for His glory. Oh, that we may see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We look upon Him and we say, there He is, God in human flesh. There He is standing as my representative, my sacrifice, and my all before God. Everything that I need to be accepted of God, I find in Him and Him alone. Who is he that condemneth? Who can condemn me? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, is even sitting at the right hand of God right now. You say, well, when you do this or that, you're condemned. No. There's nothing in this flesh or there's nothing in this world that can condemn me. Because I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my substitute. He is my satisfaction. And He is all I need to stand before God and to hear God say, welcome in unto the joys of the Lord. Come, sit down, rest. Find rest for your soul looking unto Him. Oh, this is He that came by blood and water. Not by blood only, but by blood and water. And it is the Spirit that bears witness because the Spirit is true. How do we know that He did this? God sends forth His Spirit into our hearts and causes us to understand, causes us to see and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Oh, remember now thy Creator. This God should be remembered. And the word remembered, as it is used here, means to recognize, to think upon, and to be mindful of. Be mindful of your Creator. Think upon your Creator. Recognize Him as He is revealed in Holy Scripture. So what is it to remember our Creator? What is it? It's not a casual thought. It's not a thought that we get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I believe I'll go to church. nor is it an indifferent glance. Well, there he is. You know, I know who Christ is. Men all over the world, all over this universe, uses the name of this Jesus. You ask anybody up and down this road, in my community and in your community, who is Jesus? And they're, oh, he's the son of Mary, he's the son of Joseph, he's this, he's that. But what does the scripture say concerning him? What does this book say? Who does this book say he is? The scripture tells us that he is God manifested in the flesh. It is God that came and took upon himself flesh, and they called his name Jesus. The angels bear record for him. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child, and she shall bear a child, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And men all over the world are using this same name here today. But they have no idea who he is. He's a helpmeet. He's the old man upstairs. He's a co-pilot. Oh my. Who is Jesus Christ? What is it to remember him, to meditate upon him, and to think upon him? David said in Psalms 146 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. This is what it is to recognize who he is. This is what it is to remember now thy Creator. Not a casual thought, not an indifferent glance, but one that dwells in here. One that comes and takes up abode in the heart of his people, giving them a spirit, the Spirit of God. I was trying to think of the scripture. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. That's who we are. That's who we are. You say, well, that's blasphemy. God don't dwell in men. Yes, he does. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, for God dwelleth in you. And something in here is always in our memory here. We don't forget about this thing. Oh, we sin, yes. We forget so many things. But oh, to remember that my God is with me. I in him and he in me. You read through the book of Song of Solomon. This love story that is set forth in the Song of Solomon. So often they compare the Lord speaks of his beloved. And then the church speaks of her beloved. To the point that it's hard to understand sometimes who's speaking here. Is it Christ talking about the church, or is it the church talking about the Lord? It is that I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. I hear my beloved coming. I hear his voice. I see him dancing upon the hill. That's the church seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in all his power and his beauty and his glory. But he turns unto us and he says, come away, my fair one. Come unto me. Rest in my arms. Eat the apples of my love. Take the sweetness of my lips and enjoy the goodness of my flavor. This is the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's closer than even man and husband or husband and wife. It's so close that we're made one in God, with God in Christ. So close that we cannot be separated. I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. I'll go with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, let us be mindful that our God is a God of great perfection, a glorious perfection. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. His omniscience. He sees all things. And He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Only the God of heaven and earth can be this. These other gods are, well, He's my helpmate. He's my crutch that I need to lean on. Oh no. When you see Him as He is revealed in Holy Scripture, when God by His grace comes unto us and speaks unto us in mercy and in truth and reveals unto us who the Son of God is, we cry out, He's my Lord and He's my God. He's my hope. He's my Savior. He's my substitute. He's my Redeemer. He's my all in this life and in the life to come. Let's get on to our lesson. I've got off my lesson a little bit here. If we are saved, if we, by the grace of God, are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, if we are resurrected on that great day, and we are conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be all of His work and none of mine. It will be all of His work despite what I am and who I am. It will be according to His mercy and grace through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done all things for me. The Scripture says He will perfect that which concerneth me. Is it any wonder that the writer calls for us to remember, oh, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I love to see young people in the congregation. I love to see children brought up under the gospel. It's a joy to see these young people sitting under the gospel. And oh, it's even a greater joy when we see God speak to them and call them by His grace. And as we go down through these rest of this chapter, the writer is telling us, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then he tells us what's going to come. What's going to come? What's going to happen in our old age as we are getting older every day, every day. And he does this to... Let me find the word I'm looking for here. He does this to convince younger people to remember God, to come to Christ, to look upon Christ, to feed upon Christ, and to rest in Christ. He does this to encourage them, because in this old age, as we're going to look at here for just a minute, there's many things that's going to come our way. There's many things that's going to come our way that oftentimes blocks our mind, blocks our thoughts, and blocks our inability to worship God as we desire to. So let us read here a few minutes. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The evil days, they are the old days, the old age, the old age. We look back on our younger days when we could jump and skip, whatever it is. Now it's a struggle. It's a struggle to get up in the morning. Now the evil days don't mean that the sin in our older days is more evil than those, and sin is sin. I don't care if you're firstborn or if you're getting ready to pass on. Sin is sin. Sin must be dealt with. And the only way that sin can be dealt with is in the substitute of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that God will deal with sin. He will either deal with Christ or He will deal with you outside of Christ. There's no two ways about it. That's the way that God does things. He will either look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and find you accepted in Him, or He will look upon you outside of Christ, and outside of Christ, God is a consuming fire. So let us remember our Creator in the days of thy youth. While the sun, verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Now, what's the writer talking about here? What does all this mean? He remember this now. He says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the clouds are darkened. The writer here is talking about the old age, the flesh getting age upon it. The sun, the light, the moon, and the stars will be darkened. This is the understanding, the mind, the judgment, and the memory. And you and I that are getting older, we know that this is true. We know that we're not as sharp as we used to be. We don't have the memory that we used to have. It's tough sometimes to understand plain English because of the infirmities of the flesh. And that's what he's talking about here. He's encouraging the youth to look to Christ early in life. But while these are yet true in our faculties, we are the same with God. Oh, we may forget Him, but He will not forget us. We fail Him and come short of His glory every day, but He will not fail us. He will not fail us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He stands before God, pleading His own blood in righteousness. Lay not this to their charge. I suffered and bled and died in their room and their stead. Accept them into the very presence of God. The cloud returneth to the rain. In our youth, troubles come, and then there's a sunshine, there's joy in the morning. But oh, seems like every time we come out of one trouble, we go right into another one in our old age. Before these things come upon us, and the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now, what's he talking about here? And the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. The keeper of the house is the body, his body. The keeper are the arms and the hands that does most of the work in keeping this body fit, which in old age they become weak and trembles. The strong man are the legs and the thighs that uphold the body, which the feet have supported the house. Some has to have knee replacements. I just had a shoulder worked on. We're getting older, and these things are a hindrance to us. The grinders cease, that's the teeth that we eat with, because they're few. Our teeth fall out, they perish, and they're gone away. But does that change our standing before God? No. He loves us today and tomorrow and every day. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you to myself. You're precious in my sight. I love you, and because I love you, I drawed you to myself. Look at verse 4. And the door shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. You say, well, I don't understand what he's talking about here. Remember this. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then he tells us all the things that are infirmities of this flesh. The door shall be shut. This is the lips. This is the lips which are open for speaking and eating. But in old age, they are more shut than they're open. Old age brings this thing of I can't remember. I forget. They rise up at the voice of the birds. Most old folks, I think every one of us at John's house was in a bed at 9 o'clock last night. That's just what we do. That's just what we do when we get older. And we rise early. We rise early at the voice of the birds. The daughters of music shall be brought low. This may mean the lungs and the throat and the mouth, which when they're weakened in old age, our voice don't project as it used to. Our lungs are not sufficient to breathe out as it used to. Almost, look at verse 5. Almost when they shall be afraid, or also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. They shall be afraid of that which is high. High places such as mountains, hills, towers, even steps, is a hindrance to the old. Even steps, 2 steps up here. We have to get a hold of something and steady ourselves. Our limbs are feeble. The almond tree that flourishes is the gray hair that comes upon our head when age comes upon us. It says it's like an almond tree when it flourishes, when it's blooming. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Even the very small grasshoppers is a burden. The lightest load is always a heavy load to us when we're getting older. Desire shall fail. Is that not true? Desires of almost everything fails in the weakness of our old age. And man goeth to his long home, the grave, and is the home of this body, dust unto dust and ashes unto ashes. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bough be broken, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Now, what's that mean? What's he talking about? The writer here is talking in riddles. Oh, no. He's telling us the infirmities of the flesh. The silver cords is a bond between soul and body. When this flesh is put into the dust, that bond is separated. It's broken. The silver cords are broken. The golden bowl is the brain which stops functioning at death. We lose these things. We lose them at death. The pitcher be broken at the fountain is the heart, which is the fountain of life. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Oh, remember now thy Creator in the day of thy youth. Worship him, bow to him, give glory to him, that they may be in our old age facts that I know God, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am saved by his grace through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, I've seen this thing of dementia come upon men and women that have been a pattern of faith, and they have this look in their eyes. They look like they're looking out into space. Oftentimes can't remember their own name, but God remembers. Old age don't change our standing before God. The feebleness of this flesh don't change our standing before God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why you have ability and why you have the strength and the understanding that you can comprehend and know who he is and know that I am his and he is mine, and we shall rest in him forever. I've run out of time. We'll take just a few minutes, then John will come.